And now Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding are pleased to present Coast to Coast, CBS Radio Network. Thank you, and hello again, everybody. And welcome back to the Bob and Ray Show.
I think before we do anything this evening, we should go over some of the notes that we have here of listener interest. The Bob and Ray Company Outing and Fish Fry is not going to be held this month. We postponed that for all of the employees here.
Well, one of the reasons is the weather is so unpredictable, and it seems like so many of the employees didn't feel like separating with the $10.50 that it will cost to attend. But we'll try to hold it next month, at least before the end of the summer.
They're going by bus anyway. What do they expect? And then a lot of people were concerned that the great Bob and Ray Bird yesterday was ill. And that, they want to dispel any
rumors. You know, it may be my imagination, but that Bob and Ray great bird is slowly becoming greater.
Well, I thought it looked bigger today when I came back.
Listen to that.
He only does that when he's angry.
Angry, and look at the size of him. He's a pretty big bird.
Mm-hmm. He plucked his feathers up there. He looks bigger than he really is.
Good boy. Maybe we better put a cover over the cage so he'll be quiet for the rest of the show. Who dares go near it?
help.
Pascal, maybe you could do it for us.
All right. I don't want to get too close to the great Bob and Ray Bird.
No, just throw the cloth over the cage, see? Then we can carry on with the show.
All right.
Thank you.
Quiet now, great Bird.
Good.
And hello, this is Harvey Swenson welcoming you to Let's Take a Tour. Today, we're visiting the Croyle Kinney Road Sign Company. And with me is Mr. Warren Sarko, the foreman, who's going to explain the technical equipment as we go along. Now, what's this interesting tool here, Mr. Sarko?
Well, that's a hammer. It's used to drive in nails, sir.
Now, Mr. Sarko, would you care to tell us what that group of men is doing over there?
You mean on the bench?
Yes.
They're having their lunch, Mr. Swenson. Now, the way they do that, the operation involved there is this. You see, the noontime whistle blows.
Now, in that room over there, Mr. Sarko?
Now, that's the steak room. That's where the steaks are made.
And the road sign is clamped onto the steak, is that right?
No, the steak is clamped onto the road sign. Would you like to see one of the steaks, Mr. Swenson?
Well, very much, sir. It's something we're all interested in.
Well, right here, this is a typical steak here, without the road sign on it. It's 41 inches in length, and it's got a point at the bottom.
And that, of course, means that the roadside will stand 41 inches above the road. Is that right?
No. We have to drive the stake 8 inches into the ground.
Well, then, subtracting 8 inches from the stake, the sign will stand 33 inches above the ground.
Well, now you've got to take into consideration the sign itself. Now, it has height, too.
How much here, Mr. Sarko? The
sign's 8 inches high.
Then the sign will stand 41 inches above the ground.
I suppose so. Say, Mr. Swenson, would you be interested in seeing our reject room? It's a pile full of signs that our machines ran off incorrectly.
All right. Is it that small room over there?
No, that's a boiler. It's over here, Mr. Swenson. And be careful not to step on any stakes.
All right.
Here we are.
Yes, I did.
And let me pull one of these signs out. Here. Now, take a look at this one.
Hey, it says speed limit 200 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. The overhead printer went out of whack on that. It was supposed to read 20 miles an hour.
I see.
Now, take a look at this one, sir.
Well, this says sharp curve ahead. What's a curve, Mr.?
Well, it was supposed to have read sharp curve ahead. Our type said it got the axe for that one, I might point out. Incidentally, a good many copies of this particular sign got by the inspector here and were placed on quite a few roads, unfortunately.
No harm done, I hope.
Well, now, you'd be surprised how many people stop and get out of their cars and walk on ahead just to see what a sharp curve was.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Well, thank you, Mr. Warren Sarko, for showing us around the Croyle Kinney Road Sign Company. It was informative and revealing, and it happened on Let's Take a Tour.
Well, speaking of taking a tour, everywhere you go, across the country trip or across the street party, you can carry the fun with you when you own a Columbia Stereophonic High Fidelity Phonograph.
You know, there's a wonderful selection of 7 new portable models and smart new color combinations at your Columbia Phonograph dealer,
to choose from.
Now, each one is a masterpiece of design and beauty. More quality and more features and more styling have been built into these sturdy portables than ever before.
And how much fun you'll have enjoying all the wonderful new sound of stereo records. Regular records take on new beauty, too, when played on handsome Columbia portables.
And you'll be amazed at the big console sound that's reproduced by Columbia portable stereophonic high-fidelity phonographs.
Will I thrill to the excitement of Stereo One by Columbia?
Sure will. Number one in the wonderful world of sound. And Columbia portables are economical, too. Prices start as low as $24.95.
See them and hear them today at your Columbia phonograph dealer.
And now, chocolate cookies with white stuff in between them brings you another episode of Lawrence Spechtenberger, Interstellar Officer Candidate.
Lawrence Spechtenberger, Interstellar Officer Candidate, and his sneering companion, Bunk Mellish, had run into trouble with the new experimental spaceship X-21. Now, having repaired the trouble, they're about to land on their first flight to the planet Polaris. As we join them again.
Okay, Mellish, set it down real easy now.
And it will set down easy.
Thank you.
So far.
I can't see anything down there.
Hello. Hello. This is Spechtenberger, nearing Polaris. Come in, Commandant. Commandant, Spechtenberger calling.
Commandant calling Spechtenberger from Earth.
There he is back.
Come in, please.
Right.
Okay, Commandant, you're coming through swell. We're just about, maybe 20 minutes away from landing. Any instructions?
Good show, Spechtenberger.
What?
Good show.
Yes, well, thank you very much, Commandant. Everything's gone very well so far. Mellish
back as soon as you can. We're having beans for dinner.
Wonderful. Mellish has sneered only twice, sir. I thought you'd be pleased to know. Well, make that three. Commandant?
Yes, Spechtenberger.
Spechtenberger signing off now. We'll call you from Polaris.
Commandant, signing off. Over.
Okay, set it down now, Mellish. Easy does it.
We're in, Spechtenberger.
Now then, we better put on our space helmets with our self-contained oxygen supply.
Good idea. Should we take the disintegrator ray with us?
Just better. We don't know what we'll run into out here at Polaris.
Roger.
All right.
I'm ready.
Real eerie feeling of weightlessness here, isn't there?
Yeah.
Fortunately, we have these weighted shoes.
The starboard hatch is open, Spechtenberger. You go ahead, I'll be right behind you.
Wait. I don't know whether you'd call this ground or not underneath our shoes.
Stuff like sand.
It's fussy, though.
It kind of falls away as you take.
What could that be? Did you leave the radio receiver on?
No, it was turned off, Spechtenberger.
My, what a barren wasteland this is.
Hey, look over that rise there, them little people. They seem to be drilling or something. That's what they're doing.
I don't know about you, Mellish, but for the first time in my life, I'm frightened.
I thought you would be, infected.
Please, there's no time for sneering. I think we're in serious trouble here.
Hey, why don't we capture one of them little fellas and take them back to Earth for a souvenir?
Wonderful idea. And then our scientists back at Earth could analyze them and look at them doing their eyes right.
Yeah. Each one of them turning his three little eyes to the right.
Wonderful. They're coming this way. Now, as they pass by, I'll reach out and grab the one nearest, okay?
Good luck to you, Spechtenberger.
Stand by with the ray gun.
Here, little fella. Here, boy. Come on. Lawrence Spechtenberger wants to see.
Oh, hey, come on, Spechtenberger. They're all coming after
him. All right, come
back
on
to the ship. Come on. Sir, hurry up.
And so Lawrence Spechtenberger and Mark Mellish seem to have run into unexpected trouble on the planet Polaris. What will the little people do to them, and will they be able to capture one to bring back to Earth? Sure, and join us next time when we'll hear Lawrence Fechtenberger say...
What do you suppose they mean by that, Mellish?
In the next episode of Lawrence Fechtenberger, Interstellar Officer Candidate.
I can't wait for that episode either.
Oh, I'm with you.
Say, we have with us today a lady who answered a newspaper advertisement. She's here to tell us about it, Miss Catherine Burris. I think we just have time for you, Miss Burris.
All right. Hello, Mr. Elliott. By the way, this is my first time to be behind the footlights.
Well, we don't have footlights here. They're used in legitimate theaters only.
Oh, is that where they're used?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that throws a different light on the situation. You walked right into that one, didn't you, Mr. Elliott? My, yes, you
Miss
did.
Miss Burris, which newspaper ad did you answer, would you tell us?
An ad which read, in essence, can you sing, do you have hidden talent, and things like that. Write us and let us know if you have any talent, and if you have, we'll help you develop your singing talent, or for that matter, any other kind of talent you may
have.
Well, that was it, in essence.
Do you have a hidden talent, Miss Burris?
Well, I sing as well as Helen Going With.
Who's Helen Going With?
I don't know who Helen's going with. I haven't seen her recently. Oh, mercy, you fell for those. Maybe I should be an MC instead of a singer.
Did you send these people a letter telling them about your singing talent, Miss Burris?
Well, I thought sending just a letter would be insufficient, so I went to the Penny Arcade and made a recording of Old Johnny.
How did it come out? Was it good?
Well, I picked up the sounds of the rifle shots in the background, but I felt that these people would take the rifle noises into consideration and not pay any attention to them.
So you sent the record along to them, huh?
Well, I'm not afraid not. On my way out of the Penny Arcade, I accidentally stepped on the foot vibrator, and the record flew about 30 feet into the air.
Smashed the record, huh?
Only the part that fell on the floor.
Oh.
Mercy, how you do set me up with those straight faces.
Straight lines, mister.
Well, whatever. At any rate, I said in my letter that I had a fine singing voice of the type that's so much in demand these days.
Well, did it take a long time before you got an answer back?
No, I got an answer from them the same day I mailed my letter, about 3 hours later.
What did they say?
Well, they said that my talent was being processed along with the talent of thousands of other applicants, and there'd be a long wait before they could judge my talent.
That's kind of discouraging. How long did you have to wait till then?
Well, that evening I got a very special delivery, personalized letter from the president of the outfit.
Personalized?
Okay, here's the letter. You can see where all those blank spaces are filled in with my name. That's personal, isn't it?
Yeah. I noticed the letter goes on to say that you have a fine, I see, bass and baritone have been crossed out, leaving soprano. You have a very fine soprano voice.
I certainly do.
And it adds that you can have the use of their recording studio for $700 an hour.
Mm.
Well, are you going to take advantage of their kind offer, Miss Burris, do you think?
No. And do you know why not, Mr. Elliott?
Why not?
Well, $700 is a little too high, even for a soprano. I declare, if you don't give me one of those straight laces again,
Straight lines, and thanks for coming up here, and I'm glad you decided to turn down their offer.
You have a lot of talent, ma'am. Good luck to you, Miss Burris.
Go back there and sit down.
Careful of the great bird, though.
What do you want to do with the great bird tonight, man?
Where have you been putting him?
In the mailroom.
In the mailroom? Well, I suppose he's getting a little big for the mailroom. Maybe we could leave him here in the studio overnight.
I think that'll be good. We kind of live here anyway.
Well, did you have a nice time, audience? Huh? All right, quiet, please. Quiet, bird.
Did you, audience? Let's answer Ray, huh?
Oh, that was a surprise.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I reckon that would just about do it for today. Did you have a nice time, audience? Well, don't stop applauding that way, audience. It sounds so terribly mechanical, you know.
Like they're on a record, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it
embarrasses us. No. Well, that's it. Until the next time, Ray Goulings is ready to get work.
Bob Elliott, hang by your thumb.
This is the CBS Radio Network.